We didn't have Christmas decorations in our house when I was a child. My father thought Christmas trees were a waste of money. My mother just didn't like Christmas. So a few sprigs of holly were the only sign of festivity. Until the year I was 8, and my godmother gave me a crib. It was the full regalia. Apart from Mary, Joseph, and the baby, he was separate from his little manger and could be put in at the last moment on Christmas Eve. Not that I was ever able to wait that long. It had two shepherds, one with a lamb across his shoulders, the three kings, and a page boy. The livestock comprised the ox and ass, of course, two sturdy sheep, one lying down, and a camel for the king's entourage. And there was a thatched roofed stable with side gates that could be detached. I wasn't of an age to find the existence of thatched roofs and swing gates in Judea 2,000 years ago a bit bizarre. It was a cracker, and each year I rearranged it daily in the run-up to Christmas, with the kings and their camels starting at the edge of the table to signify the distance they were traveling, while the shepherds huddled a short distance from the stable beneath a small pile of hedge cuttings from the garden to signify their need for shelter from the storm. It was good as a play in my mind, as the action progressed daily, the kings trudging ever closer. In my teens, my determined Christmas spirit had so far infected the household that we had a small Christmas tree, albeit an artificial one, which stood crookedly and a trifle forlornly in the bay of the dining room window, managing at least to cast a Christmassy shadow when the table candles were lit. But my crib retained its star status, even if the figures now remain static throughout the Christmas period. When I left my parents' house for my first flat, most of my belongings were left behind, temporarily, I thought. It turned out to be permanent. Not only did my entire childhood and teenage library disappear into the ether, probably the St. Vincent de Paul Society, but my crib was gone as well when I went to collect it. It was in the way, my mother said. It was in the attic, I said. But even with the advent of adulthood and a relegation of the Christmas story to the realms of delightful fairy tale in my consciousness, I never lost my fondness for the Christmas crib. So I was outraged a few years ago when the nameless authorities of the health service, in a misplaced and ham-handed attempt at inclusiveness, whatever that meant, banned cribs from all public hospitals for fear of giving offense. And after such a joyless banning of the tidings of great joy, at which children had gasped for generations with stars in their eyes, En Poste then issued a Christmas stamp, which didn't show what my mother used to call the Christmas subject. No more the young mother gazing at her newborn child, shown in miniature, but still recognizable, and giving a joyous surge of the spirit of Christmas, manifest of generosity and fellowship, as each tiny image was thumped on an envelope. I have no objection to a Christmas robin or a snowman in the tiny space, but it was the abandoning of a heart-lifting annual tradition to political correctness that was so offensively joyless. I was in hospital overnight on December 19th last year. I was already exhausted in the pre-Christmas rush, ticking off lists, trying to see friends, even briefly, whom I hadn't seen for the previous year, assuring the younger generation that I could manage the Christmas tree on my own. I'm a perennial worry to my nieces, having acquired a surgery necessitating injury to my shoulder some years ago in the process of decorating a tree. But as I checked in at reception in this determinedly Roman Catholic hospital, outside the remit of either HSE or Department of Health, there it was, a large crib dominating the lobby. It was fairly hideous, but my heart lifted with every flash of its circlet of fairy lights. The previous week, I'd been in a voluntary public hospital for tests. There had been lots of decorations, most provided by staff who brought in their own spares from home. Not exactly pristine, although the joy was there, but no crib, banned in the name of inclusivity. Santa Claus is there, mind you. And it occurred to the authorities that he, too, has his origin in religion, the modern incarnation of St. Nicholas, who trudged through the frozen wastes to bring gifts to deprived children. By the way, I have proof he exists. In the bleak winter of the great freeze of 2010, I told a friend as we had our annual celebratory lunch the story of the demise of my childhood crib. On Christmas Eve, in the midst of mountainous snowdrifts and waterless taps, a taxi pulled up outside my house. My friend emerged. An enormous box was unloaded. Opened, it held the figures of a porcelain crib. And each year since, in my very secular household, with Santa Claus beaming from the top of the stairs, the crib has pride of place in the hall, the baby Jesus seeming to me to wave his fat little fist in joyous welcome in the bleak midwinter with promise of joy to come.